Hello, Outlander fans. Welcome back to Bad Exponents and Tilts. I'm your host, Jenny Coco Cure, and this is episode 15 of Bad Exponents and Tilts. And in this episode, we're going to be going to the past and recapping episode 2 of season 1 of Outlander, entitled Castle Leok. We're going to be entitling this series of old recaps or recapping of old episodes as the rewatch recap series of the show. So we're rewatching and recapping some of the older episodes of Outlander. Right now we're going to go back to season 1. We've already recapped season 1, episode 1, Sassenach. I think that's episode 4 or 5 or of Bannix, Bonnets, and Kilt. So go back and listen to that if you haven't done so already. And then once you have, you come back and join us here with this episode. If you've already listened to it, then you're already caught up. So we'll just go ahead and start with this episode. Now, this episode of Bannix, Bonnets, and Kilt, the recapping of the older episodes, are not going to be as long as the new recap episodes, and I know I've said this before with the new recaps, that it's not going to be long this time, guys. I'm going to make it short. And then I end up doing an hour and 10 minutes. No, this time it's really just going to be short recaps of the older episodes, because we're just going to kind of, do like a kind of a, not a minute by minute, but kind of a rough recap, not covering every single moment of the show, and then just discussing what we think of the episode, or at least I will be discussing what I think of the episode. So here we go, starting out with Castle Leok. In this episode, well, let's just speak briefly about where we left off in last week's episode, or rather Sassenach, the first episode, where we left off with Sassenach. Claire, a World War II combat nurse, was on her honeymoon with her husband in Edinburgh, Scotland. And she and he visited a place called Craignadun while they were visiting there, and saw this ritualistic kind of a dance or thing there with some of the local women. And while they were there, Claire saw some plants that she wanted to pick for her botany medicinal purposes. And one day when Frank was going to visit a friend of his, Reverend Wakefield, to do some historical research, Claire told him that she was going to go back up to the hill to check out those plants. When she went up to that hill, she was transported back in time, because on that hill there's some standing stones that are magical, mystical, and they only work with certain people from a certain genetic or bloodline. Claire happens to be of that certain genetic or bloodline. So when she went there, she was transported 200 years back into the past to the 18th century, where she was kidnapped by a band of Scots, or one Scot, Highlander Scot, and taken to this cabin where some Scots were hiding out from some red coat officers. And while she was there, she met this this one Highlander by the name of James Fraser. And they decide to take her with them as they go back to their home of Castle Leok. On the way to their home, they happen to run into some redcoats, have a skirmish. Claire makes a futile attempt to escape. She's recaptured by Jamie, and they get back on horse and go back on their trip to Castle Leok. And where we ended in last week's episode, they were arriving at Castle Leok with Claire in tow, or Claire with them as she's riding with Jamie. So that's what happened in last week's episode, which was, of course, great. That's what happened in episode 1 of Outlander. So picking up on episode 2 of Outlander, as they arrive at Castle Leok, the men, the Highlanders, are greeted by one of the ladies, who's like someone that helps run the castle. She comes out, greets everyone, and tells them to go in and get something to eat, because they look like they're tired and hungry. when she sees Claire, she, you know, looks at her all, you know, weird, like, what is this? And then Jamie notices, and he introduces Claire to this woman, introduces her as Mrs. Fitzgibbons, and introduces Mrs. Fitzgibbons to Claire. And Mrs. Fitzgibbons says that she wants Claire to come in so that she can get cleaned up and changed. This is something more appropriate because, of course, what Claire is wearing appears to be something like a shift, even though it's her 1940s dress. But because she lost her belt and the dress was a white kind of sheath, it looks like a shift. So before she can, before Mrs. Fitzgibbons can make Claire go with her, Claire says, "Oh, well, what about him?" Referring to Jamie. And what she's referring to is the fact that Jamie had gotten shot while they were on the road, and Claire had done an impromptu patch job of the wound, but needed to do a little bit better by cleaning it and dressing it. And she told that to Mrs. Fitzgibbons. Mrs. Fitzgibbons looks at her like, okay, what do you know about that? Are you like a beaten or something? And Claire's like, well, something like that. So Mrs. Fitzgibbons is like, okay, well, come on in. Jamie, you heard the woman. Let's go. So they go into the castle, and Claire is patching up Jamie's shoulder. He's got his kilt kind of draped over his shoulder and back, and, you know, like he's covering up a little bit or halfway covering up his body. And Claire is trying to get to his wound as best as she can, but at one point she realizes that the kilt is kind of in the way, so she moves it a little bit, and when she does, she sees that his back is covered with these scars, these slashing scars all across his back. His back is horribly scarred, and Jamie is a little bit embarrassed, but he decides to come clean and say to Claire that the reason that his back is so scarred is because he had been flogged twice in the space of a week by the English. They had accused him of some crimes, and Claire said, well, what did you do? And he's like, well, it's whatever the English say I did, which doesn't necessarily mean that I'm guilty. It just means that they claim that I am. But they had accused him of, I think, stealing and also obstruction or something along those lines. So it was like just, you know, some trumped up charges because, you know, they're the English. Anyway, Jamie, at one point, as Claire is working on his wound, says that she has a great touch, and says that your husband is a lucky man, you know, because he's appreciating how Claire is tending to him. And Claire, being reminded of her husband, gets all upset, thinking about how he must be so worried about her because she's missing. She starts to cry. And when she does start to cry, Jamie's like, oh, what's wrong? I'm sorry. Is it about your husband? Is he alive? Is he not alive? And Claire, you know, thinking about it, realizes that, no, he is not alive because he's not been born yet. So she says, yes, he's not alive. And Jamie kind of gathers her in his arms and hugs her, and she allows it. And, you know, they have this kind of a moment where he's embracing her. But then she realizes that this is not appropriate, so she backs away from him and she apologizes. And he says, it's okay, you know, look, you don't have to be scared of me. You know, as long as I'm with you, you have nothing to fear around here. And Claire's like, well, what if you're not with me? And he says, well, just remember, you are English, and that is not the best thing to be around these parts. You know, so he gathers his things and, you know, tells her he'll see her later, and he leaves. Later, Claire is prepared by Mrs. Fitzgibbons to see the laird of the castle, who is Colum McKenzie. She said, you'll have to see himself because he needs to talk to you. So later, Claire is taken to Colum. And Colum is asking her a few questions about, you know, how does she come upon the, how does she find herself in the forest and nothing but her shift? And she came up with this story about how she was attacked by, you know, someone, and, you know, and her husband was with her, but he was attacked too. And that, that she ended up, you know, in her state because of someone who had attacked her. You know, and you know, and then she came across, you know, the man that ended up capturing her, you know, which was one of the McKenzie men. Well, he's not a McKenzie. He's actually, what is he? He's not a McKenzie, is he? What is Murtaugh? Murtaugh's last name is Fitzgibbons. But anyway, he's loyal to Jamie. He is not loyal to the McKenzie. He's a Fraser. He's more of a Fraser. So anyway, when she's explaining all this to him, Colin, you can tell he doesn't really believe her story. But, you know, for the moment, he's not going to sweat it. He just tells her, you know, you're my guest, so you can stay here, you know, as long as you need. And she's like, well, you know, I need a ride, really, to Edinburgh because I need to get back and join my husband, my family. I'm sure they're worried about me. So Colin is like, well, we have someone coming through on, you know, on Saturday that will be able to take you back to Edinburgh. And that's just in a few days. So if you can wait that long, you know, you can hang out here with us until then. And Claire's like, cool. So Claire's thinking she's going to have herself a ride back to Edinburgh where she can get back to the Stones and get back to her husband. She just has to wait it out for the next few days. So later, you know, she's invited to dinner, you know, at the castle. And she shows up for dinner, you know, everybody is staring at her, you know, thinking, oh, this is a stranger. We don't know who this woman is. So all eyes are on her. But she joins Colum and Dougal at their table because she's a guest. So when she's up there, you know, she's trying to pep herself up. You know, she's saying she has to play it cool. You know, just stay under the radar, you know, be as chill as possible. She's trying to take, you know, some ideas from her husband, who was like, you know, he's like the British version of the Secret Service when he was in the war. So, you know, he's talked to her in the past about certain things that she can do, you know, whenever she's in a certain situation, about how do you lie well and how do you, you know, come up with a good story about who you are without giving too much away. So she's trying to follow these guidelines, but you know, she's never done this before. So, you know, it's going to be imperfect. So, you know, as she sits there with Colum and Dougal and Colum's wife, you know, she's, you know, eating and, you know, having some of Colum's very strong liquor. You know, there's a little boy who ends up approaching the table. And Claire sees him and smiles at him and says, hi, I'm Claire. I saw you outside playing with your father, you know. And, you know, she's referring to Dougal when she says this because she had seen the little boy outside playing with Dougal earlier. Well, when it's pretty clear that she has mistaken Dougal for the child's father, the boy corrects her and he says, I am the son of Colin McKenzie. You know, and Claire's like, okay. Oh, my bad. So this is a really uncomfortable moment, you know, because Claire has, you know, mistaken Colum's son for Dougal's son. That's probably a huge insult, of course. And Colum, you know, he doesn't say anything. He just keeps his lips tight. And when the boy introduces himself as Colum's son, the mother, you know, Colum's wife is like, yes, of course you are. You know you are. You know, so, you know, they try to, you know, get over this awkward moment as quickly as they can. But Claire feels like she has fucked up really bad right now, so she wants to leave. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and go to bed. I'm kind of tired. So let me bid you all good night, and I will see you later. So she gets up and leaves, knowing that was a big mistake, and she knows that she's going to have to do better in order to stay under the radar from now on. So the next day, she decides she wants to try to help out, you know. She goes to the kitchen. Mrs. Fitzgibbons telling her, you missed breakfast. So Claire's like, well, let me just take some food out to Jamie, you know, and I need to change his dressing and everything on his arm anyway. Mrs. Fitzgibbons gives her a look like, okay. So Claire takes some food down to the stables where Jamie is training some horses, you know, and she gives him a basket of food. And while she's there, you know, they get to talking and knowing each other a little bit better. You know, Jamie tells her how, you know, he used to live rough, you know, and that at one time he was living so rough that he was on the road with some lads, and the only thing for a while that they had to eat was grass, you know. And he explains to her how also he's a wanted man, and he's there at the castle because, you know, he's being looked for by the English, and he's kind of like a fugitive from the law. And Claire's like, why are you telling me this? He's like, I don't know. I guess I trust you, you know. So anyway, she leaves, and, you know, and as she's leaving, she realizes that she's being followed. And when she looks around and sees that one of Dougal's men are following her, she looks back and she approaches him and she says, are you following me? Did Dougal make you follow me? He's like, look, I'm just doing my job, you know. And the man that's following her happens to be our one and only, oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. How am I forgetting his name? How the fuck am I forgetting his name? That is terrible. Rupert. Our one and only Rupert. It's so nice to see Rupert. So nice to see him. He looks so well. So anyway, Rupert, of course, is being his usual jolly self. And he's like, look, at least it's not Angus that's following you. You would be, you know, really horrified if this man followed you. Because, you know, he likes to have sex with goats or something like that. He's just joking around. You know, and Claire's kind of ignoring him and stuff. So, you know, she said, well, you know, I'll make sure to bathe regularly if he likes the smell of the farm and goats. And Rupert was like, ooh, well, he won't know what to make of that if you do that. So that was fun. It was fun to see Rupert. Anyway, after that, Claire confronts Dougal when she sees him in the castle and asks him why does he have his men following her. He basically tells her, I don't know who you are. I don't trust you. So as long as I don't know who you are and don't trust you, you know, we're going to keep an eye out on you. Just deal with it, you know. And Claire's like, whatever. And, you know, so Claire knows that she has to stay as chill and as cool as possible, even though she wants to escape and get back to Edinburgh, back to the Stones. She knows that while she has spies looking after her, that she's going to have to be as chill as possible. So, one day while she's out picking some vegetables and herbs for Mrs. Fitzgibbons, she runs into a lady in the gardens who tells her about some of the plants that she's looking at as being poisonous. And Claire's like, yes, I know these are poisonous. You know, I'm familiar with this stuff. So, you know, they get to chit-chatting, and the woman reveals that her name is Galus Duncan. And Claire tries to introduce herself, but Galus says, oh, we know who you are, Claire. Everybody's been talking about you. You know, you're the Sassenach. Everybody has been talking about, you know, you're a stranger. You know, that's something that tends to get people's attention around these parts, you know. So anyway, they you know, get to talking and all that. And Galus says, well, are you going to be going to the hole later, you know, to this sort of I don't know if it's a ceremony so much as it is just kind of a meeting that they have at certain points. So Claire was like, no, I wasn't planning on going. What is this? So Galus, you know, says, well, you know, just meet me there. You know, I'll show you what it is. So later that evening, they go to this area in the castle where all the people that live there are gathered. And it turns out that Colum and Dougal are basically just hearing people's grievances that live in their castle or on their lands. And one man comes up before Colum. Colum is sitting on his throne or whatever with his blanket over his legs and stuff. And one of the men comes forward with his daughter and has his daughter by the arm. And Colum is like, what is your grievance? What's going on with you? And the man says, well, my daughter has been doing all kinds of stuff that she shouldn't be doing, and I demand that she be punished. You know, so the man basically is taking his daughter, who's like this scared little, look like she's maybe no more than 14, 15 years old. He's taking her before all these people that are gathered around to have her punished because she's been doing bad things. So, you know, Colum is saying, okay, well, we'll punish her. But Jamie, who was also in the audience, you know, he speaks with Murtaugh for a minute. Murtaugh tells him, you know, you can tell that Murtaugh is telling him, nah, man, don't get involved with this. But Jamie, he's hard-headed, so he wants to get involved. So he goes up to Colin. He says, Colin, you know, we're not going to, you know, get involved. But he's speaking to Colin in Gaelic, by the way. And when Claire sees Jamie speaking to Colin in Gaelic, she says to Gaelis, who's standing next to her, well, what's going on? And Gaelis says, he's going to take the girl's punishment because, you know, he wants to, you know, do that for her so she won't be embarrassed. So Claire's like, why would he do that? And Gaelis like, I don't know. I guess he's just nice. I don't know. So anyway, Jamie is talking to Colm, and Colm, I guess, agrees to allow Jamie to take this punishment for this young girl. And when Jamie takes the punishment, the girl is allowed to leave, and Jamie is standing there, and he's approached by Rupert. Rupert apparently is the person that doles out the punishment. Rupert looks at Dougal. Dougal is like giving Rupert the go ahead to start the punishment. And instead of Jamie getting like a whipping like the girl was gonna get, he's gonna get just beat. So Rupert socks him in the face. You know, Jamie's cool with it. You know, he understands, you know, this is just, you know, business. So he's kind of still smiling, you know. And Rupert is, you know, looking at Dougal, seeing if he can keep going. So Dougal, of course, says yes or nods. And then Rupert punches him in the face again, punches him in the nose, eventually punches him in the shoulder, which is his bad shoulder where he got shot. Then Rupert punches him in the stomach, punches him in the face, and breaks his nose. Well, not breaks his nose, but at least busts his lip or whatever. And then punches him in the shoulder again. Then just punches him across the face until he spins around and ends up on the floor. Claire is horrified by this. She thinks this is so brutal. But, you know, she doesn't, you know, and she doesn't impose. You know, she realizes that this is their thing. So she stays in her place. So Jamie, you know, once he's done with it, you know, he's hurt, you know, but he stands up. He looks at Colm, looks at Rupert, and nods at Rupert. Then he looks at Colm and bows. Colm bows or nods his head back. So that's over. You know, Jamie has accepted the punishment for the girl. It's over. So when he leaves, Claire leaves because she knows she's going to have to patch this motherfucker up again. Excuse me. So when they're alone, and Claire is helping him with his wounds, she's like, why did you do that? Take that punishment for her. And Jamie's like, well, because, you know, the girl would have been embarrassed. That was just too harsh for her. She's young. You know, it would have been something that would have been real hard on her. So I just decided to take it for her just to be helpful. Claire still doesn't quite get it, but, you know, she's like, okay, well, that's nice of you, I guess. So then, you know, Claire, as she's, you know, finishing everything up with Jamie, explains to him what he needs to do to make sure that his bandages are taken care of, or that his wounds are taken care of properly. And Jamie's like, oh, I got to do it? Well, I thought you was going to help me out with it. She's like, well, I'm not going to be here, you know, because Colm told me I can leave on Saturday, you know, and which, by the way, is the next day, because so far a couple of days have already passed. So she says, yeah, I'm going to be leaving tomorrow, so I won't be here. So Jamie, you can see that his face kind of falls. You know, he is broken a little bit. He wasn't expecting to hear that. So he's like, oh, okay, well. Then he stands up. He says, well, I guess this is goodbye. And she says, yeah. He's like, okay, well, safe travels to you. She's like, thank you. And then someone comes into the area where they are. Opens the door, and they look over and see that it's the girl, the young girl. And then Claire says, oh, well, looks like somebody wants to have a little talk with you. Jamie's like, yeah, I see. So Claire, you know, bids him farewell, and they part ways. The next day, Claire's all dressed in a whole new outfit, looking all good and everything. It's so nice of them to keep giving her these nice, fine clothes. She looks better than anybody. They keep giving her these nice dresses. But anyway, she's all, you know, ready to go. She's, you know, getting ready to leave. And Mrs. Fitzgibbons is with her, giving her something to eat for her trip. And they hug it out, you know, to say goodbye. And Mrs. Fitzgibbons says, safe travels to you. And Claire's like, thank you for everything. So Claire's all excited, thinking she's leaving. Then suddenly Dougal comes and says, hey, Colin wants to talk to you for a minute. And Claire's like, what about? I'm getting ready to leave. And he's like, it'll just be a minute. And you already know something's up, you know. So Claire follows Dougal until he leads her to where Colm is, which is like in the, I think Colm is in the, what is it called? It's a place where the beaten does like his medical stuff or whatever. It's like a place in the basement or whatever, where the old medical guy used to work. So anyway, when Claire gets there, she's asking him, so what's up? And Colm is like, oh, I just wanted to talk to you for a minute. So Colm, you know, kind of tells her how, you know, they used to have a beaten who was like a healer. The clan beaten was known for this sort of thing. He's showing her around the room and saying that, you know, do you know anything about these potions? Because she's looking at the potions and a book of, you know, probably doctor's notes or whatever on the table. And he's like, do you know how to use this stuff? She's like, some of it, yeah. Yeah, I know some of it. You know, healing is an interest of mine. And she's like, well, you know, this was all very fascinating. Thank you for showing it to me, but I got to go. And he's like, no, you're not going anywhere. You're going to be staying. And she's like, what are you talking about? She says, is Dougal lying to you about me? Did Dougal tell you that something, that I was some sort of spy? Colm is like, no, Dougal does what he wants to do. This is my decision based upon my own thoughts. And he said, you know, you might, you know, he said, I know you have secrets. I can tell you've been lying about stuff and you have secrets. And maybe your secrets are the kind of secrets that women have, generally speaking. But I don't know that for sure. And until I do, you are going to stay right here. So he leaves. And when Dougal sees her, Dougal's in the doorway too. He sees her and he just kind of walks or closes the door behind them and locks her in. And when she goes up to it and pulls it, she realizes the door is locked. She is locked in this whole dungeon basement, medical lab, whatever thing. And she has apparently been taken prisoner or whatever you want to call it and is not being allowed to leave. So there is where the episode ends. And that's the end of episode 2 of Outlander Season 1, Castle Leok. Now, of course, what I thought of this episode was that, first of all, it was really, really great. It followed the book pretty well. Almost everything that happens in the episode happened in the book. Everything from, you know, Claire, you know, trying to fit in but not really fitting in, and the whole thing with the young girl whose name is Leary, being taken to the hole with, you know, and to be punished, and Jamie taking her punishment. To Claire patching Jamie up again after he gets beat up from taking the girl's punishment. All of that is directly from the book, and they just portrayed it in the show masterfully. It was really wonderful doing the rewatch of the episode because it's just so nice seeing how Jamie and Claire were back then. Jamie, you know, with his shorter hair and you know, just looking so youthful and so virile, you know, not that he almost pretty much looks the same now in the later episodes, but really in season 1, he just looks so strapping and so young and so hot. And Claire, I gotta say, Claire, in season 1, Claire looks so young compared to what she looks now. I'm not saying she looks a lot older now, but she does look noticeably older and even sounds older. If you check out the earlier episodes, you will notice that Claire's voice is way higher pitched in the earlier episodes than it is now. She sounds you know, a lot younger, and her voice is a lot higher than they are in later episodes, like in season 3, where she's sounding more like a mature woman, you know, her voice is more deep. And then in LA episode, she's talking more like this. So, you know, I don't know if that's deliberate or if that's just her actually just being a few years younger. And as she has aged a few years, it's been like 3 or 4 years since she filmed this. You know, maybe it's just a natural progression of her voice changing. I don't know. But whatever it is, I am convinced that in these earlier seasons of this earlier season, she's considerably younger than she is in the later seasons, because 20 years are supposed to have passed. So it's very convincing. All right, guys, that is it for Castle Leok's recap. And we wrapped it up in 30 minutes. Yeah, told you so. Next week, we're going to be doing episode 3 of the rewatch recap Outlander episodes. And episode 3 of season 1 is entitled The Way Out. Is that it? Oh, yeah, it is The Way Out. So episode 3 of season 1 next week is The Way Out. We'll be recapping The Way Out next week. If I notice that we've gotten any listens for this week's episode. Any significant listens. If I don't notice that we've got any significant listens, I might recap The Way Out anyway, just to see if we pick up something later, you know, some more listens later. But if I just notice after, you know, a couple of these recaps that we're not really getting any listens, then I'm just going to call it a day, y'all. And I'll just see y'all next year with the new season, season 4. But until then, until next week, guys, take care. Have a good week. And don't do anything I wouldn't do. And I'll holla. Bye-bye.